Today, confirmation Australia's housing market is turning, but... Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, we had further confirmation today that the Australian housing market tide is turning, at least in terms of further price rises. But overall housing affordability remains at painful extremes, both for mortgage holders, who in some cases are throwing more than half their disposable income at repayments, while renters are even more exposed. This is very much in line with my recent 2026 property scenario show released on the 29th of December, along with the latest assessment of household finances and the bill pressures that many are under, and also chimes with the discussion in my last live show of 2025 with property insider Edwin Almeida, which was aired on the 30th of December. Links are below. One important point to make is that not all locations or property types are behaving in the same way, and averages mask this to a large extent. But all up, on average, Cotelity's National Home Value Index recorded the smallest gain in 5 months, with value rising 0.7% in December. Sydney and Melbourne were the biggest drag on the headline growth outcome, with value sliding down 0.1%. They said that the subtle decline in values across Australia's two largest cities marked the first month-on-month decline since January last year, prior to rate cuts that commenced in February. Every other capital and broad rest of state region, though, recorded a rise in values through December, although most saw some momentum leave the market. Of course, alongside the existing cost of living pressures, we now have the expectations not of further rate cuts, but further rate rises in 2026. And indeed, some fixed rate mortgages have already moved higher. Now, I'd make the point that the assumption now from mortgage providers is that a standard household has two full-time incomes, not one, and that a mortgage term of at least 30 years is most often tabled. So people are in hock for longer, bigger debts. And by the way, it's worth recalling that the average long-term cash rate in Australia is around 7%. So the current 3.6% is actually quite low, despite the 2021 ultra-low levels set post-COVID. Cotelity makes the point that despite the softer December outcome, the home value index surged 8.6% higher in 2025 on average, adding approximately $71,400 to the national median dwelling value. This marks the strongest calendar year gain in home values since 2021, when the market rose a stunning 24.5% amid emergency low interest rates and record high levels of purchasing activity. But while every capital city and rest of state region recorded an increase in dwelling values over the year, it was bookended by Darwin, up 18.9%, and Melbourne with a milder 4.8%. Looking at the segments, Cotelity notes that the upper quartile of the market continues to weigh on growth outcomes. At a national level, upper quartile dwelling values were up just 0.2% in December, while values across the lower quartile at the middle of the market were 1.1% higher. Now, I think the government's nutty 5% deposit expansion in October helps to explain the difference, together with more interest from property investors for cheaper property, and so competing directly with first-time buyers. As John Wright noted in the recent show, if you want to solve the property crisis, you need to address the so-called carry trade, where government policy has tilted the playing field away from owner-occupiers, especially first-time buyers, and towards investors who enjoy enormous tax breaks. Cotelity noted that regional markets have been more resilient to a slowdown, but not completely immune. The monthly pace of growth across the combined regional markets of Australia slowed from 1.2% in November to 1% in December. Despite the easing, the monthly gains were double the combined capital city growth trend, where values rose by 0.5% in December. Over the calendar year, regional dwelling values rose by 9.7%, outpacing the 8.2% rise recorded across the combined capital cities. Across the rest of state regions, Western Australia stood out with a 16.1% annual increase, followed by regional Queensland up 12.6%. Regional Victoria recorded the lowest growth outcome over the year, with values up 6%. And again, it's something I see in my surveys. Stress, financial pressure, is not just restricted to our major urban centres. It's pretty much everywhere you look. While renters saw some welcome relief in December, with the rental vacancy rate up from 1.5% to 1.6% through the month, the vacancy rate is still close to record lows, and the subtle rise could have more to do with seasonal factors through December than an actual loosening in rental conditions. Now, I would highlight that a good proportion of new migrants initially go into the rental sector, so the 320,000 net new migrants over the past year helps to explain the continued rental pressure, alongside a lack of supply and the exit of some investors from the market, for example in Melbourne, due to tighter government regulation. Thus, I see no relief for renters on the horizon. But I would note that both in Canada and New Zealand, where migration has been reduced, guess what? The costs of renting and indeed home prices have eased, and eased significantly. For more on that, check out my recent show with Leith from Macro Business. Catality says the higher vacancy rate was accompanied by an easing in the pace of rental growth, and so Catality's national rental index was up 0.3% in December, slowing from a 0.5% lift in November. In season-adjusted terms, the slowdown wasn't as sharp, but still evident, slowing from 0.5%, where the monthly charge had held for the previous 4 months, to 0.4%. Nationally, rents are up 5.2% in 2025, a step up from the 4.8% rise seen in 2024, but well down from the near 10% jump in rents recorded in 2021, 2022, and 2023, when the double whammy of smaller households and a catch-up in overseas migration amplified rental demand. But, of course, 5.2% is well above the annual inflation rate and also the real wages growth rate as well. In the 5 years leading into 2020, the average rate of rental appreciation was just 1.2%. The past 5 years have seen rents rise at the annual average rate of 7.4%. In fact, rents rose across every major region in 2025. Regional Western Australia recorded the largest annual rise, up 10.1%, followed by Darwin with an 8.2% lift in dwelling rents. Melbourne recorded the smallest increase in rents, up 2.9%, followed by the ACT with a 3% rise in rents. Although rents are rising, home values are rising faster, driving a trend towards lower gross rental yields. The national gross rental yield fell by 11 basis points in 2025, from 3.67% in December 2024 to 3.56% at the end of 2025. That was the lowest gross yield nationally since September 2022. Sydney is home to the country's lowest capital city yields now, with investors seeing a gross rental return of just 3%, a slight reduction from the 3.1% yield seen in 2024. Darwin at 6.19% is the other end of the scale, but yields are falling there too by 61 basis points over the year as value growth outpaces growth in rents. Actually, of course, the more important net rental yields are now well down, according to DFA modelling, with more than half of all investors underwater from a net cash flow perspective. This is because there is on one hand a limit to how high rents can go, because asking rents are more strongly connected with real incomes than house prices, while the costs to investors from high mortgage rates and other costs mean they never make a real buck. As for 2026, well, Cotality says that overall, the Australian housing market is unlikely to see the same level of growth in 2026 as in 2025. Macro factors, including inflation, interest rates, and credit policy, alongside affordability challenges, are likely to be the primary headwinds facing housing conditions through the year. Inflation risks are back on the radar, implying a higher for longer interest rate setting, as the RBA focuses on getting inflation back on target, and all eyes will be on the monthly CPI update due on January the 7th to see where the inflation trend is heading. The latest update to October 2025 showed annual headline inflation rising to 3.8%, with core inflation lifting to 3.3%. The risk of a rate hike remains elevated, especially if core inflation proves to be stubborn, holding above the RBA's 2-3% target range. The heightened risk scenario is already weighing on confidence, with the Westpac Melbourne Institute Monthly Consumer Sentiment Index dropping 9% in December and the Time to Buy Dwelling Index down the larger 10.6%. At 3.6%, the cash rate remains a full percentage point above the pre-pandemic decade average of 2.5%. But of course, as I said earlier on, it's much lower than the 7% longer-term average. With housing prices at record highs and interest rates above average, mortgage serviceability remains stretched. Even with the 75 basis points of rate cuts last year, a typical household purchasing the median priced dwelling would have to dedicate 45% of their pre-tax income to service a mortgage, Cataldi says. With APRA focusing on household debt levels and watchful for any slippage in lending standards, mortgage serviceability factors are likely to continue funneling housing demand towards the lower to middle price points. This is where house prices have been rising the fastest as mainstream demand competes with a pickup in first-time buyers and elevated levels from investor activity, they say. Beyond the macro factors, housing affordability barriers should naturally put the brakes on the pace of housing growth. Based on data to September, housing affordability metrics are stretched to record levels. The national dwelling value to income ratio is at 8.2. It would take a household on the median income 11 years to save a 20% deposit, and renters are dedicating a record high 33.4% of their annual pre-tax income to pay their rent. That said, the market is not without support. Persistently low levels of stock, both from new builds and existing listings, should act as a buffer against price falls. Government incentives aimed at first home buyers should also help maintain some momentum at the entry level, even as broader market conditions remain tough. So overall, the outlook points towards modest but uneven growth in home values through 2026, Cataldi says. The balance between inflationary pressures, RBA policy decisions, and ongoing supply shortages will be critical. While downside risks are more pronounced, structural undersupply and targeted stimulus could help stave off a material correction, leaving the market resilient in many areas despite the headwinds. Well, of course, they would say that, wouldn't they? But I guess we will see. In my scenarios, I include one where government again intervenes further to stoke the property market. After all, we cannot let prices fall, can we, Claire O'Neill? But also, I have alternative outcomes where migration slows and rates rise, and here prices could fall, and this magically could improve housing affordability. But without real structural reform, don't hold your breath for any significant relief. After all, we all know in Australia, home prices only go one way, don't we? That is, until they don't. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.